Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
May 15th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter show, but intentionally so. I'm going to cover some important topics, and I'm going to save two that I feel incredibly important that we're going to carry over on today's episode of After Hours Live. For those that know, I do a Wednesday podcast with Be Rich on After Hours Live. So I'm going to save a couple of those. I'll show you right in the end that we'll continue talking about on the other podcast. So I'm going to try to make this a reasonably short show, but still some very important things I want to go over today on this part of the show. And this is largely, again, about Iran, which is a big topic today, and about contradictions within this narrative, not so much around the lies that we've been pointing out, but now within people contradicting that Iran is a threat at all. And of course, the U.S. doubling down anyway, which is what they usually do, as well as some more information about, again, the whole story, but false flags specifically, and as it relates to the classic story that we all know about the USS Liberty. And how that connects to Israel and their foreign policy and that influence over the United States. And the story that a lot of you likely know, but I'll argue that even many of you that think you know the ins and outs of this story may not understand how obvious and undeniable the story really is. Documented history that we still pretend is not the truth, as well as some contrasts about Honduras, where recently the United States forced in some IDF Israeli military troops. And showing you that the U.S. seems to ignore the things they point out in Venezuela when it's happening in countries that they're occupying. Very interesting stuff. But let's get into this, beginning with the first story coming from the anti-media about a British commander who is contradicting what the U.S. is saying, putting a stick in the spokes for their entire Iran narrative, entitled Top British Commander in Rare Public Dispute with U.S. Over Iran Intelligence. Now remember, the supposed Iran intelligence comes directly from Israel. Netanyahu handed this to Bolton, who then regurgitated it to the mainstream media, who then regurgitated it to the public. This is all, there's no evidence thus far other than that, and now even people in these positions, this man being the very person we should be listening to, contradicting that, and they just ignore him, similar to how they ignore what Alfred Isaias has to say about Venezuela, him being the exact person we should be listening to. Or maybe the person is in his current position, who's currently in the United Nations, who also says the same thing and they also ignore. Funny how this stuff works. But this is kind of a big deal that he's denying this. Now, an awkward public exchange unfolded between the U.S. military and its closest allied military coalition force during a Pentagon press conference on Tuesday, wherein a top British commander in charge of anti-ISIS coalition forces rebuked White House claims of the heightened Iran threat. He said, quote, no, there's been no increased threat from Iranian-backed forces in Iraq and Syria. Period. Now, this is British Army Major General Christopher Geeka, I believe, a deputy head of the U.S. coalition. And he asserted confidently in a video link briefing from Baghdad to the Pentagon in response specifically to a CNN question. He says, we're aware of that presence, clearly, and we monitor them along with a whole range of others because that's the environment we're in. Interesting. He says, we are monitoring the Shia militia groups. I think they're referring to carefully, and if the threat level seems to go up, then we'll raise our forces protection measures accordingly. Basically, outright saying that what they're claiming is simply not happening. I'm here on the ground. I can see it. It's not happening. And again, this is literally the person that we should be listening to on this exact topic. Now, of course, hours later, U.S. Central Command issued its own statement, slamming General Geeka's words as inaccurate, insisting coalition troops in Iraq and Syria were on a high level of alert due to the Iran threat. So basically just saying no because of the words we said, that's what's happening. And this guy's like, I should be the one telling you the reality on the ground, and that you're telling me because we said these things, this is the truth. This is crazy. They said this clown world that we live in is coming up every single day. Literally ignoring the truth, the obvious truth, and not just kind of fudging it, but saying the exact opposite. Now this is CENTCOM says, quote, recent comments from OAR's deputy commander run counter to the identified credible threats available to intelligence from U.S. and allies regarding Iran-backed forces in the region. So basically, just to kind of clarify what that says, is that what the man on the ground, who's the very person we should be listening to about this exact topic, what he says runs counter to the intelligence, period. And guess, remember the intelligence comes from Israel. That's it. Doesn't mean it's necessarily fake, but it means we should be asking the questions, knowing that Israel and Netanyahu specifically has lied countless times about this exact topic. So has the United States government, mind you, and both of them have been openly vying for war with Iran. And now here we are, the obvious example on the ground is countering what they're saying, and they're just doubling down, saying, nope, our intelligence that we created and faked says otherwise. So just shut up. This is basically what they're saying to him. It says, quote, U.S. Central Command, in coordination with OIR, has increased the force posture level of all service members assigned to OIR, in Iraq and Syria. As a result, OIR is now at a high level of alert as we continue to closely monitor credible and possible imminent threats to U.S. forces in Iraq. So ignoring the person that they should be listening to is saying, no, it's not true at all. And saying, no, we're going to trust the intelligence from someone who's not there, who wants war with Iran, who's been open about that. And, you know, just continue to monitor closely in case any other intelligence from people who are lying pop up that we want to listen to while ignoring the truth on the ground. Now, the U.S. statement went so far as to imply that the British general didn't even have a grasp of troop readiness and the state of alert of the very soldiers under his command. These people, again, as I point, there's nothing sacred with these people. Just discounting these people, just ignoring these people. And again, if this was in reverse and he was saying what they wanted, he'd be heralded as the champion of the world. Now, Major General, this is actually somebody who sent me this breakdown in their opinion, and it was just perfect, concise, and this is actually thanks to this person who opened this up to me yesterday, actually. But he said, basically, if you want to summarize this whole thing, Major General Chris Geek on the ground in Iraq made a statement that there is no increased level of threat from Shia militias. Then, of course, CENTCOM issued a statement saying, basically, oops, sorry, our bad. Of course, there's an increased threat because the State Department tells us so. End of story. I really, again, wonder how people can't recognize how obvious this is. I think most of you do, to be honest. And that's what I'm talking about, the false majority. But there are still some who just see this and just mindlessly nod and say, yes, government, whatever you say is true. It's frustrating. Also, of course, after this, after doubling down on a threat that doesn't exist, and even when our own people are saying so, overnight the State Department just again doubled down, ordered the immediate evacuation of all non-essential personnel from the U.S. Embassy in just over an unspecified Iranian threat stemming from Israeli intelligence. And, you know, this is what we're banking on. Coming from the Hill, State Department pulls employees out of Iraq amid tensions with Iran. But again, they don't mention that this tension is being created by the U.S. while Iran doesn't do anything outside their own country. And they want you to believe that it's their fault, all of this. And now the State Department, just again, this, and remember that this is one more addition to the political theater, the mirage. They're pulling their people out of Iraq. Understand that, first of all, the Iraqi government has been openly screaming that they don't want the U.S. there anymore. That they're not welcome there anymore, and that Iran, that they're openly attacking Iran even in their own country when Iran is their ally. For a long time now, they've been saying you need to leave. You're not welcome here anymore, and so this seems like a way of them turning into their being forced out of the country into them taking an action against Iran. Win-win for the United States oligarchy, right? Because they can hide the fact that they got forced out of another failed regime change. It's so obvious. And of course, they're pulling all their people out of their embassies and all the different stuff. And this is just meant to heighten the perceived aggression against Iran, which is there for sure. But they're trying to increase it as much as possible. They're trying to change the opinion of Americans specifically as much as possible without actually taking anything that can bite them in the rear end. Because I can think we've seen this happen over and over. And then they get held accountable for the things they do, or not really, to be honest. It just turns out where we know they're responsible and we point to them and say, you're bad people, and then nobody ever gets in trouble for it. But this is what continues to happen. But at least we then know one step in the right direction that we can see how fraudulent these people are. Now, for the other part of this story, before I move on to the last couple pieces here, and I don't want to take too long because I did the same thing last time because I want to make sure and make it for the After Hours live show right at 6:30 Mountain Time, which is when we're going to try and make it today. And again, make sure you hop over and join us there too, because we're going to keep talking about all this. But the USS Liberty, a false flag, historically documented. And we'll go in through this story, but understand that this is exactly the kind of thing that is, this is a perfect parallel to what's going on with Iran right now. The very people that have lied in the past, verifiably doing the very same things with Iran. And understand this is even a country that, in this case, killed Americans. And they still covered it up. They still lied about it. And of course, this is the second part to the first article I was reading yesterday from Whitney Webb. And I told you to keep an eye out for the second edition. This is that, Mint Press News. Part two, history's dire warning. Beware false flag trigger for long-sought war with Iran. And we definitely should be concerned. Now, the first part, we touched a little bit on the USS Liberty and just the idea of false flags and how it pertains to today. And as always, I highly recommend you dive into this article and read it all because there's a lot of information. But I'm going to touch specifically on the USS Liberty aspect. Now, historically, the U.S. government has frequently planned and used false flags in order to justify the initiation or expansion of hostilities, war, with the best known examples, of course, being ones that I've pointed out many times before, one being Operation Northwood, which is a documented a false flag planned operation that went all the way to the president's desk that was vetoed, that literally documented, outlined the killing of American citizens in order to go to war with Cuba. And this shouldn't be lost on you, how Cuba plays a factor in this situation today with Venezuela. It's all the same thing here. And this was planned, and they were willing to kill Americans in order, and even bomb things in the United States in order to create a war with Cuba. And yet we pretend they would never do this today. Thank God the president vetoed this because these people wanted to move forward. As well as the other most prominent one mentioned in the article, the Gulf of Tonkin. Also fake, documented. Again, and we pretend like they wouldn't do this. Vietnam War began because of a lie that they know was a lie, they knew was a lie, they told the Americans, American people, because they wanted to get into a war, period. Understand that. Yet with all of that, with all of these examples that we continue to point out, people continue to pretend, at least some, that it's not real. And yet with all that's happening with Iran and Venezuela right in front of us today, it's important to revisit even further, because we touched on it yesterday, one incident that reveals that the key players right now pushing for war with Iran, Israel's government specifically, Netanyahu, and neoconservatives, specifically of the Bush era, Bolton, chief among them, have planned and attempted to execute false flag attacks to push the U.S. into a major war that the American public does not want, has been openly saying for a very long time, we want none of this. So they have to then create emotional reasons to force the American people to want a war. And understand that this is not conjecture, this is not hypothetical. This is documented history. One of which, in general, we're talking about Iraq, which was a lie. Bolton being integral in that part, that lie. And here we are again today, and people still trust them. How is that even possible? Now, the USS Liberty. On June 8th, 1967, unmarked aircraft and torpedo boats attacked the USS Liberty, which was a largely defenseless naval intelligence vessel flying very visible American flags, and of course attacked them without provocation. Now, the aggressors attacked the unmarked aircraft and vessels, shooting even survivor-bearing lifeboats out of the water with machine gun fire. No accident. And the jamming of the Liberty's ability to use international distress frequencies, all of which were in massive crimes. 34 American sailors lost their lives and 173 were wounded. And the Liberty, which, interestingly enough, cost the U.S. taxpayer $40 million to build, was so badly damaged it was subsequently sold for scrap metal for pennies in the dollar. On an interesting side note, remember that Joe Meters, who was interestingly held captive by Israel when he was part of the Freedom Flotilla, held there against his will for weeks. The U.S. didn't even talk about it. The mainstream media didn't even talk about it. And he was a veteran that was on the USS Liberty, an American citizen, a survivor, held again captive by the same people who murdered his fellow sailors and was held again, and the U.S. didn't say a word. Interesting to think about. Now, during the attack on the USS Liberty and in the immediate aftermath, The survivors of the Liberty were puzzled as to why the U.S. Department of Defense, in fact, ordered the recall of U.S. ships that were en route to aid the Liberty from the hostile attack, which many sailors had assumed at the time was being conducted by Egyptian or Arab forces in light of the ship's proximity to the Sinai Peninsula. Now, indeed, it's the attack on the Liberty took place during the Israeli-Arab Six-Day War, a war that Israel claimed to have started as a preemptive means of self-defense, but that was later revealed to have been the culmination of actual years of planning for a war of aggression. Again, think about that in the context of Gaza, Palestine, anything Israel's involved with, that they can outright lie and say, oh, we're defending ourselves, when in fact you can now look back and very clearly see that years of planning went into a war of aggression. How do we not apply that to today? Because their governments are lying to you, propagandizing you to think this stuff doesn't exist. It's easily documented. It's documented, easily found. Now, this fact that they planned this war while pretending to be defending themselves, just like we see today, this fact was openly admitted by former Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, I believe. I've looked this one up as well, and I forget before I go live. Interesting name. But former Israeli Prime Minister in the early 1980s openly admitted. And again, we pretend this stuff doesn't happen. Now, Israel, an American ally, was, of course, not suspected by the Liberty crewmen at the time of the attack as being the potential assailants because they were allies and the U.S. government was openly defending them in every possible way. However, no Arab nation had attacked the Liberty that day. Though that was the assumption by Liberty sailors, but this was what they had hoped the American public would believe. Instead, it had been, as we know now, undeniably so, Israeli aircraft and torpedo boats that had fired on the clearly marked American vessel. Clearly marked. And with, again, with their machine guns and their torpedoes, and even napalm, all documented. The Israelis officially maintain to this day, of course, with little to no challenge at all from the U.S. government, that the attack was an accident. A fact that has been and continues, mind you, to be heavily contested by the people that were there, the people who survived, people like Joe Meters. Yet, beyond the testimony of survivors, the most compelling evidence that the attack on the Liberty was, in fact, no accident comes directly from the Israelis themselves, as it so often does, as we try to point out. Intercepted Israeli communications from the time of attack, made public only in recent years, revealed that the ship had been identified as an American ship prior to the attack. And despite that, the plan was to sink the USS Liberty and ensure that there were no survivors. The goal of the attack was to place the blame on Egyptian forces, which necessitated there being no American survivors, you know, who could stand up and dispute that claim. So if the Liberty had been sunk, it would have provided the United States legal cover and popular support for a more central role in the conflict and its crucial diplomatic aftermath. This, in my eyes, would be the largest and most obvious reason for the U.S. to recall its rescue ships headed to support the stranded U.S. troops. It's thinking, well, let's just let it sink so we can pretend it didn't happen. Pretty obvious, knowing all the stuff we know, that they knew it was an American ship, that they attacked it, and then attacked the people in the water. This was a straight-up attack and a false flag by the Israeli government, knowingly attacking Americans and trying to pin it on somebody else. This was a false flag, one that failed to achieve its intended goal of specifically goading the U.S. into a major war because it didn't go to plan, because Americans survived. Now, instead of responding with indignation at the time, then President Lyndon Johnson, whether it occurred before or during the attack is actually disputed, he ordered that the Liberty not be rescued during the course of the attack, allegedly not wanting to harm relations or embarrass an ally, even if it meant consigning the 294-person crew of the Liberty to death. This is the unspoken truth. Undeniable, mind you. There's nuances and semantics that'll be thrown in this, but this is the facts, these are the facts, and it's the unspoken truth, the open secret about U.S. foreign policy, Israeli foreign policy, and their lying the same way with Venezuela right now. And have now also restricted freedom of movement to sell their lies. And this is specifically about commercial flights to Venezuela. Now, I just have a couple more things I want to point out in Venezuela before I bring this over to After Hours Live tonight, or in about a half an hour. But this is indeed happening. Breaking news, the U.S. is indefinitely suspending all commercial passenger and cargo flights to and from Venezuela, which is a huge deal. And remember that this all stems back to the simple idea. This is, again, vindictive. This is because they do not want to accept the U.S. declaring Guaido president. So now they're just affecting anybody. They are shutting off Venezuela. And how does this not affect the Venezuelan people? Ask yourself that. How does this not directly affect the civilian population? Oh, I understand, because the administration are the ones that don't have access to private. This is ridiculous. This is, again, directly targeted at the people. They know this. They don't care. They simply do not care. And of course, the article that this links to, guess what? CNN, look at the picture they're using, or rather the video. Guess what they're showing you? Of course, they're implying that that truck murdered civilians and it was Maduro. These people don't even care that these things have been debunked. They literally don't even care that I can show you how his forces hijacked those who took them and then used them to run over civilians, as it seems. They don't care. They simply don't care about the truth. They care about the lie. They don't care that they took these trucks and then later ran over civilians. They care about pretending that it's Maduro, knowing that the people that only watch mainstream media don't hear what I have to say, don't have the video evidence that the CNN also has and chooses not to show you. You know, the same way they lied about watching Maduro forces set trucks on fire when we have evidence, video evidence, showing that it was Guaido forces. That wasn't a misreporting accident. That was CNN knowingly lying to sell the agenda. Pretty damn obvious. It's really sad to see that they would do this. And while the U.S. government lies, cheats, and steals, in this case about Venezuela, it also intentionally suppresses the voice of any actual Venezuelan who supports Maduro. Which is the majority, by the way, but here is what Bolton had to say, pretending that he's the one fighting for them. Maduro continues to shut down the voice of Venezuelans. We urge the international community to support interim President Guaido's call for a peaceful democratic transition and to stand with the people of Venezuela, calling for Maduro to relinquish power. Is anybody even reading his tweets anymore? I mean, this is ridiculous. First of all, Maduro continues to shut down the voice of Venezuelan. Oh, you mean by allowing the newspapers to actually write what they want? Point of fact, most of them are reporting what the U.S. tells them to say, because they're run by the elite groups. They're trying to force their way back in. Yeah, that's how he's shutting them down, apparently. Or about allowing Guaido to wander the streets freely and not doing anything about it. Or, you know, not doing what they're doing and hiding the fact that there's a whole other side to this argument. That's actually shutting down the voice of the people. I mean, again, this, I swear it's like they've applied the clown world idea to everything they do. Let's take what's actually happening and literally say the exact opposite. These people, it's like they don't have any other tools. This Bolton and his hammer, that's what we have. What they're doing is effectively ignoring the vast portion of the population who did, in fact, vote for Maduro. Let's just even say, for sake of conversation, that it's a quarter of the population, which is not true, by the way. It's clearly the majority. But even if it was just a quarter of the population, they're still not showing you that huge portion of people. Millions not showing you. How do we not recognize this? They're shutting down the voice of those people. That's what you're doing, Bolton. And he says, we urge the international community to support the interim president's calls for peaceful democratic transition. You mean like setting things on fire and throwing Molotov cocktails and running people over multiple times, mind you? Two times now we have Guaido forces running over civilians. This is supposed to be peaceful? I mean, the people who must read this and think it's true are simply not paying attention. Simply not. It's insulting to your intelligence. It truly should be. But, of course, here's the truth. Here's what is actually reality on the ground. Alfred Isaias, former UN high official, human rights expert, international expert. Economic sanctions are a form of terrorism because they inevitably impact directly or indirectly the poor and the vulnerable. Period. They know this. Again, they know this. The U.S. is doing it because of that. And this is what we need to see. I've included my interview with Alfred Isaias in the show notes. You should watch that. Trust me, it's a powerful interview giving you what's really going on the ground. Exactly what they don't want you to see. Now, one more thing on Venezuela that I wanted to point something out here. The absence of something, actually. Notice how the U.S. has kind of quietly stopped bleating about how the Venezuelan people need U.S. aid. Interesting. Did that stop mattering all of a sudden? Or did something change? Or was it never really the case to begin with? Or did they just realize their lie was not sticking? Think about that. Obviously, we know the reality. Obviously, we continue to point out how tons and tons of aid comes in from China and Cuba and Russia and numerous places around the world. And the U.S. at first was just constantly saying, we need to force in aid because they're starving and no aid's coming in from anywhere. It's ridiculous. And they knew it. They were saying this in the face of massive tons of aid flying in on a regular basis. So either they didn't know that, which is just ridiculous. It shows you either utter incompetence or they were lying to you, as I always point out. But so the question should be now, what changed? Bolton, Pompeo, United States government, what changed? Your claim was no one was bringing any aid, and none has come in from you. So by your claims, these people must be already dead, right? But you're not saying anything. So does it not matter anymore? Or are you just tired of saying the same lie that's not working? It's depressing to see that this is the kind of thing.
Man, I'm sorry. It looks like my mic was super far down. I hope that didn't screw the show up. I wasn't even looking at the chat. I apologize about that, everybody. Yeah, I'm now seeing your things. I apologize. Hopefully you could turn the volume up. But I'll continue to the last part here. We only have a couple more minutes. Now, to finish today, before I head over to After Hours Live, one more example of the glaring hypocrisy. As they tell you, all they want to do is support the people of Venezuela. That's all we want. While they actually ignore the people of Venezuela, as well as other nations in far, far worse shape. This one is important. This is about Honduras. Here's an article. Honduras cracks down on teachers, doctors, and students protesting privatization drive. This is sad stuff to see. Now, since last Friday, Honduras has been rocked by growing strikes and demonstrations by teachers, healthcare workers, high school and university students, and their supporters against legislation that facilitates budget cuts, mass firings, and the privatization of public education and the healthcare system. More privatization. I wonder if that has anything to do with the U.S. puppet. Now, the government of Juan Orlando Hernandez, a continuation of the regime installed by the U.S.-backed coup in 2009, mobilized riot police to repress protesters with tear gas, rubber bullets, and beatings. How wonderful that they can crack down on peaceful protesters arguing that they don't want to be oppressed by a U.S. puppet, and they come out with tear gas, rubber bullets, and beat them down. Wait, I can only assume that the mass media jumped up and screamed about this. How we can't allow them to do... Oh, I'm mistaken. They didn't do anything. Not a word. Not a blurb about this on the mainstream media. Where's Donald Trump screaming about how we need a revolution? Oh, that's because they've already done that. They've already overthrown the government and put their puppet in place, so now they no longer care about the things that they're doing there. As the author puts it, the constant deadly attacks by the armed forces of the U.S. puppet regime against workers and youth struggling for their social and democratic rights exposes the farce of the human rights pretext that U.S. imperialism uses for its neo-colonial wars, invasions, and regime change operations across the world, most recently in its efforts to overthrow the Maduro government in Venezuela. It's sad. This is, in fact, happening. Regardless of the opinion, the ins and outs of it, Honduras people are right now massively protesting against their government, and it's not even their government, it's the U.S. puppet that was put in place when they overthrew their government, and they're mad because guess what? They're privatizing everything and making things more expensive, more. These people are struggling in the very ways they claim are happening to Venezuelans. Think about that, and they're not saying a word. And here is another article recently put out by Truthout, showing how the people fleeing Honduras. Oh, all the things we're pointing out. Oh my God, the migrant crisis must be some kind of thing that, you know, must be because of all kinds of things that have nothing to do with the United States. But guess what? They're fleeing Honduras, the place where the U.S. just forced in Israeli military troops, specifically because of the U.S. puppet government. As they're saying themselves, but because the media refuses to cover it, the West doesn't get to hear about it. Honduras, protest, U.S.-backed government as thousands flee. You would think this would be wildly relevant to the migrant crisis that the mainstream media and, you know, Fox News constantly talking about. No, of course not. They just leave this part out. You know, why they're actually fleeing. You'd think that would be incredibly relevant. But I guess not. You see, because truth is not important to them. What's important to them is selling you on the narrative. Selling you on the lie. To accomplish their goals. Just like with the USS Liberty, just like with all these other acts, they are lying to you, willing to kill people to do so, to carry out this agenda. These are the same actors, understand. Even people like John Bolton, who literally were involved in these previous acts, are currently doing it again, and yet people still allow them to lie. I just don't understand it. I don't. But we're going to jump over to After Hours Live in about 10 minutes, I say. And we're going to be talking about this story, which I think is incredibly important, also by Whitney Webb. Leaked diplomatic cable suggests Saudi foreknowledge of Sri Lanka Easter bombings. I'm sure you want to hear about that. That's why I saved it for this show, because we want to talk about this stuff and all the ins and outs, the conspiratorial aspects here. As we covered on this show, the Saudis know, are involved with everything that happened here. Not only because it was their specific brand of terrorism, but because they were actually tied to this. It's powerful stuff. We'll talk about this in After Hours Live. The link to his channel is right up on top on my show notes below. So make sure you join us. We're going to talk about that as well as this story, which I think is incredibly powerful as well. China calls for people's war against the U.S., vows to fight for a new world. But is that a world we would want? Authoritarian China. I mean, this is, juggling authoritarian states. Which one do you land with? I mean, it's kind of a lose-lose, it seems like. But interesting stuff. We're going to get into all of this in just a few moments on After Hours Live, so make sure you join us there. Again, for those that don't know, I do a Wednesday show with Brian every single week, talking about all kinds of different things. So make sure you hop over there, make sure you subscribe to his channel, and make sure you tune back in here tomorrow for another The Daily Wrap-Up. Or just, I guess, another daily wrap-up would be the better way to say that. Thank you for tuning in. I hope to see you all over there in just a few moments. I love you all. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. And I'm sorry about the volume. See you next time.